Last week, Friday, we taught on attitudes for healing. Turns out it was attitudes for healing, part one. And tonight we're going to have attitudes for healing, part two. Now I want to say the prevailing attitude that should be here among the ABC family, on the internet and here, is my attitude is I'm going to be here when Jesus returns.
Amen. Amen.
I can't imagine how you can be at ABC and not have that attitude. Frankly, it's hard to imagine how you can be a believer and not have that attitude. The King of Kings is coming back.
Amen.
The Messiah is coming back.
Yeah.
Whoa! That's something to get excited about. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
And our attitude is we want to be here when he returns. And to be here when he returns, we need to have the attitude that we are God chasers.
Yeah.
We are God chasers.
Yeah.
We are chasers of the blesser, not chasers of the blessing. Amen?
Amen.
Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2, primarily 2, says that if you are obedient to God and his commandments, then the blessings will chase you down and overtake you. God has already commanded every blessing you need to chase you down and overtake you. And throughout the Bible, it teaches you, chase God. Study the Word. Learn about God. Do things His way. And if you do that, the blessings come up on you. But so many believers want the blessings to come up on them as they do it their way. They're like, you know, followers of the Frank Sinatra religious song. I did it my way, right? No, we want to do it God's way.
Yeah.
Because if we want to be here when Jesus returns, we need to do it his way. Because his way is the right way. His the way is the way that causes the blessing to chase down and overtake us. Amen?
Amen.
So last week, we said that if you're a God chaser, then there are four primary attitudes you should have. Four things you should strive for. And I gave you an acronym, which you probably all have forgotten, and most of you are probably not old enough to remember. What? PRIPS. PRIP. Yeah, PRIP, right. But the acronym is not meaningful unless you know about the four PREPs, which most of you are too young to know about the four PREPs. Okay? So, the Lord gave me a better acronym. It's called People Are in Prosperity. They like to say people are in poverty. That's not God's way. People are in prosperity. Prosperity is the ability to release in your life every blessing you need to overcome every challenge as they come up. The lowest level, of course, is finances. But finances doesn't help a multimillionaire. In fact, I just went through that. I just had a multimillionaire call me up a couple weeks ago in tremendous pain and challenges, and God healed him. His money couldn't heal him, but God healed him. So prosperity includes money, but that's the lowest level. It includes being able to meet every need of life through releasing God's ability into your life. So to do that, we need to chase the first P. People are in prosperity. The first P stands for perfection. We want to chase perfection. The great Vince Lombardi, if you ever watch football, had a saying. It says, when we chase perfection, we catch excellence. And the body of Christ needs a lot of excellence. Chase perfection. But you see, perfection has a name. His name is Jesus. He's the perfect one. And when we chase Jesus and try to become more conformed to the image of God's Son, Jesus, then we're chasing perfection and we get better and better. Not to mention that Hebrews 10:14 says, Jesus died for you, and once and for all, he paid the price for you to be perfect. One day we're all going to be perfect. Let me rephrase it. One day, all of us who are believers in Christ Jesus will be perfect. It's been paid for. So let's chase perfection. So P for perfection. R is for righteousness. Yes, people love healing. But 1 Peter 2:24 says, Jesus took your sins in his body on the tree. Your sins in his body on the tree. That you, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. He died for you, so you should live unto righteousness. He died for you, so you could become adults in the family of God. And you cannot be an adult in the family of God if you're not chasing perfection and if you're not chasing righteousness. And 1 Peter 2:24 goes on to say, that you, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So we have been healed, but the healing is a byproduct of chasing righteousness. So people are in prosperity. Us people, we're in prosperity. They are. People, we chase perfection. We chase righteousness. That's P and A R, people, R. Next one is I. I is intimacy. P-R-I-P. People are in prosperity. We chase perfection. We chase righteousness. And the I is intimacy. We chase intimacy with God. And we become more intimate with God. We learn more about God as he teaches us his ways. But he only teaches his way to the humble. Psalm 25 verse 9 says, God teaches the way to the humble. The humble are those who put God first. God is the word first. The humble are those who are trying to esteem others greater than themselves. The humble are those who love God and try to love their neighbor as themselves. That's how we become intimate with God and start to understand God. And the final P, the one you all love, yeah. Right? People are in prosperity, P-R-I-P. Final P means patience. As we love patience, as we chase patience, as we understand that the second worst sin is impatience. Second worst sin is impatience. First sin committed by Lucifer, first sin committed by Adam and Eve, first sin committed by you and I is the worst sin. It's called pride. See? And pride, my friend used to say, pride is like bad breath. Everybody know you have it, except you. Right? So pride. Then comes impatience. We need to chase patience. And it's not that we want patience and we want it now. No, we want patience in patience time. Because James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. For the trying of your faith works patience. So let patience have its perfect work, that you may be entire and perfect, lacking nothing. We like the lacking nothing path. We like the part that says lacking nothing. But the part that says, let patience have its perfect work. Maybe we don't like the part so much. But notice the word perfect is used twice. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be entire. Entire means complete. Entire and perfect. Because we're chasing perfection. We're chasing Jesus. Lacking nothing. So that's a review of last time. So today we go into part two. Part two. In part two, I want to use an expression you've all heard, that we should have a checkup from the neck up. Right? A checkup from the neck up. Why is that? Because from the neck up, we have something called an attitude. And that may not be a good thing. Like, hey man, I got an attitude. You think you're bad, man? Right, y'all know what I'm saying, right? Okay. So, You can have a good attitude or a bad attitude. We want to have a good attitude. Attitudes are very important. Why? Because your attitude determines what you think. And what you think determines what you say. And what you say determines what you do. And what you do determines your habits. And your habits determine your character. And your character determines your destiny. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So attitudes are very important. For an attitude, for example, that Christians need to improve on is an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude. An attitude to be grateful for what God has given them. My Lord, we're all going to hell. We were all going to hell, and we're not going to hell anymore. After that, we really should be, that alone should empower us in a world of joy all the time. Anytime you feel grumpy and down, think of a burning fire that never ceases and think of, I could be in there. Anytime you don't want to be an evangelist and tell people about Jesus, think of this person in a burning fire, burning for eternity. Oh, we should have an attitude of gratitude. You wake up in the morning. Wow. Thank you, Lord. I believe the first words I say every morning is, thank you, Lord. If it's not, it should be. I certainly am trying to make it. We need an attitude of gratitude. In gratitude to those who have blessed us and helped us. And to loved ones. An attitude of gratitude. Okay? So, I want to talk about attitudes. For attitudes are so important. An attitude that you should have when you're focused on healing is this. One attitude. Your choice determines what happens to you. An attitude of understanding your choice determines what happens to you. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19 says, choose life or choose death. God says, choose life or choose death. Choose blessing or choose cursing. He's not saying these things are coming up on you without you having something to do about it. You choose it. And yeah, you may have had a challenge today and you don't see how you chose it. But if you go back over the last week, last day, the last week, the last month, the last year, the last 10 years, and you could see how these things come together, you see, you chose it. You know, people do die. And for believers, a wonderful thing. They get to go to heaven. For the unbeliever, not so good. But death doesn't suddenly jump in a person one day. You might say, but this person was minding his own business, like the one recently, in her bed asleep. And a truck overturned and hit something, and the engine flew out of the truck and flew into her bedroom and killed her. You say, she's there minding her own business in her own bed. No, I don't know her story enough to comment on her story, but let me tell you one I know about. This lady was asleep in her bed, minding her own business. And her house faces another street. She lived on like a T-intersection. And regularly, almost every night before she goes to bed, she says, one night, a car is going to drive through that wall, come straight down the street, drive through the wall, and end up in bed with me. And you all know what happened, right? Exactly. Exactly. She made a choice over and over. No, she wasn't hurt. She was trapped with a waterbed. She was trapped in a waterbed. And they had to lift up the car to get her out. But she wasn't hurt. At least not hurt badly. You know, maybe slightly bruised. We make those choices. And God is saying, choose life and choose death. Choose words that bring grace to the hearer. And the answer to all those three things are the Word of God. The Word of God brings life. The Word of God brings blessing. The Word of God brings grace to the hearer. And what you give to the hearer is going to come back to you. Because what you sow comes back to you. So let's have this attitude that your choice determines what happens to you. Picture a great big room. And you're in this room by yourself. And you can see into the spiritual realm. And along one wall, it's lined with the angels of God, all standing there. They're there to help you. Along the other wall are the demons of hell. Ugly versus beautiful. Life versus death. Blessing versus curses. And you're standing in the middle of the room. And as you start to speak, what you say activates one side or the other. When you speak the word of God, you bring into play Psalm 103 verse 20, which says the angels listen for the voice of God's word. They await the voicing of God's word. You can wave your Bible all day long. They're not going to move. But when you speak it, then they start to move. As you speak the word of God, they come over to help you. For angels are spirit sent to be servants of the ears of salvation. They are here to help us. But when we speak terrible things and bad things and sinful things, and like the devil tries to take the language and move the language in the direction of hell and death, so that good no longer means good and bad no means, I don't know what bad means. But they speak things that are terrible. Like, here's an ice cream cone, and people say, that's to die for? You really mean that? To die for an ice cream cone? Or, oh, that shirt is to die for? Or, man, that's bad. No, that's good. I mean, after a while, they get so confused, they don't know if they're going in or coming out. So, your words, when you speak God's words, the angel goes into action to help you. When you speak the devil's words, words that are displeasing to God, all the demons start to move towards you. And you know, you can see people. There's a Peanuts cartoon with Linus, I think it was. He walks around. Is it Linus? Pigpen. Yeah. Pigpen, thank you. Linus has a blanket. Pigpen walks around with a cloud of dirt behind him. Yeah. You know what I'm telling you here? He walks around with a cloud of dirt. And people walk around with a cloud of demons behind them. It's like, you know, you ever see wasps or bees swarming? A cloud of bees swarming? Wow. They walk around and it's like a cloud of demons swarming behind them. Reminds me if I was overseas at the airport. And it's a kind of open airport, you know. I mean, why bother with walls, you know? You can save money if you haven't got walls. So it was built near a swamp. And certain time of the year, when it's wet, these mosquitoes swarm out of the swamp. And so I'm sitting there. I did not know that. Yep. So I'm sitting here with this lady. I've been trying to tell her about Jesus and the power of God and so forth. And she wasn't really having much to do with me. And I looked up and there's this cloud coming towards the airport. I said, what is that? She says, mosquitoes. Oh, run, run. I said, wait a second. What do you mean run? By the time I had the answer, people were running all over. They're trying to get away from the mosquitoes. She says, come with me. I know the manager of the airport, and he has an air-conditioned office, which means mosquitoes can't get in there. The only air-conditioned place on the airport. She says, come. I said, no, no. I want to show you the power of God. You stay right here. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, not one mosquito will bite this lady or me. And the mosquitoes came in, and people were slapping all over. This is not an exaggeration. Nothing of this is an exaggeration. There were so many mosquitoes and so much slapping that you could see blood on the wall from the mosquitoes. Okay? It was really something to be seen. And not one mosquito bit the lady or bit me. Okay? Eventually, she accepted Jesus. She's a strong believer today. Okay? Learned enough to overcome cancer when cancer came. Okay? But it took several things like that to get her on fire for God. Okay? But that was one. I would have thought that alone would have done it. But no. Okay? So, we choose. We choose what happens to us. So one choice is to understand our words affect what happens to us. And our words come from our attitudes. So why don't we simply have the attitude, we are the beloved of the Lord. We are the apple of his eye. We are the heel of the Lord. And everything else that says something different is a lie of the enemy. I am the heel of the Lord. But the doctor said you got cancer. So the 10 spies said they couldn't take the promised land. What happened to them? They all died. You know, it's like headlines in the LA Times. Viper bites Paul. Viper dies. Paul is alive. See? 10 spies. We can't take the land. They die off. The other two take the land. Whose report are you going to believe? You're going to believe a guy who went to college and studied for what? 8 years to become a doctor? And after 8 years, he's still practicing? He hasn't got it right yet? How can you believe a man like that? No. You want to believe Jesus Christ, Son of God. He's the perfection you're chasing. And he says, I came to take sicknesses and diseases so you don't have it. So have the attitude, I am the healer of the Lord, and anything else is a lie of the devil. Amen?
Amen?
Whose report should you believe anyway? Okay? Believe the report of the Lord. Every time the doctor comes to you with a report, you think, am I going to believe that? Am I going to believe the report of the Bible? I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
So that's one attitude. Attitude is your choice influences what happens to you, determines what happens to you. Second choice. When you're looking for your healing, should be all the time. Make a decision. You're not a body wallowing through life carnally. You're made in the image and likeness of God. You're a spiritual being. Make the choice. See yourself. Have the attitude. I am a spiritual being. When you go into outer space, you put on a spacesuit. When you go underwater diving, you put on an underwater suit. When you're in earth, you put on an earth suit. That's all this body is, an earth suit. How many of you inside you, when you think about yourself inside you, feel that you're really getting older? Feel that you're really sick inside you? Your spirit man doesn't change in terms of getting sick and all this kind of stuff. No, you're a spiritual being. So you're a spiritual being wearing an earth suit here on earth. Don't let your earth suit dictate to you. No. In fact, I'm going to tell you a story I heard today. Don't let your earth suit dictate to you. You got to have control over your body. So I heard it from somebody who heard it from Norval Hayes. Norval Hayes says, teaching says, you got to have control of your body. You got to tell your body what to do. You must be in control of your body. We all agree. He says, let me give you an example. He says, I went out to dinner the other night, and I told my body, body, you behave yourself. You behave yourself, buddy. And if you behave yourself, I let you have the third piece of pie. Isn't that cool? I wish I thought of that, but I didn't, okay? It's not even, it's about the second hand or third hand, but it's wonderful. Isn't that great? Yeah, you must control your body. You know, like God told Jesse DeSantis. Jesse had this big, beautiful cake, and God says, Jesse, you can eat the whole cake, but not all at one time. Right? You can do anything, but not necessarily all at one time. Amen? Amen. So, you're a spiritual being, and the spiritual being should control this physical body. And because you're a spiritual being, you understand you have a choice how you see yourself. You can see yourself as a spiritual being and see yourself the way God sees you, which is what I recommend. See yourself the way God sees you, and churches all over do it. They just don't, I think, fully understand what they're doing. They're trying to. They pick up their Bible and says, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can do. That's all true, and that's wonderful. And that, by the way, is an affirmation. Even though some of the people who do it don't believe in affirmations. But nevertheless, when you're saying that, those are just little tidbits from the fact that you're seeing yourself as a spiritual being the way God sees you. How does God see you? God sees you as perfect. God sees you through the blood of Jesus. He sees you as having no sins. All your sins have been paid for. He sees you having no sickness and disease because without sins, you can't have the wages of sin. He sees you as a super conqueror. He sees you full of joy. He sees you living the fruit of the Spirit, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the gifts of the Spirit. That's how God sees you. God sees you the way Jesus paid the price for you to be. And you and I need to see ourselves that way. To see ourselves the way God sees us. And that's a choice. So have the attitude of making a choice. I'm going to see myself as a spiritual being. Because the opposite is seeing yourself the way the devil sees you. And the devil sees you as a carnal being living in the natural realm. Why? Because that is the only way he can impact you. He has no power. He can only use your power against you. And how does he do it? Primarily by getting you to say what he wants you to say. And then getting you to do what he wants you to do. So he has this attitude in store for you. He wants you to see yourself as a carnal being. Do you see your body? To see yourself sinning? Do you see yourself with the challenges of sickness and disease? A fear, a lack of joy. Those are the ways he wants to see you. Because if he gets you to see yourself as a carnal body, as a physical person living in a physical world, paying attention to the laws of mammon, living by the laws of science, he got you beat. Because he's the master of that realm. And he can hit you with bad report after bad report after bad report. But if every time he comes with a bad report, you say, but I'm a spiritual being. My sins are forgiven. I'm the healed of the Lord. What is all this bad report you're telling me? Then, sooner or later, he'd give up and go attack somebody else who is willing to listen to him. Said, this person is no fun. No, they come back once in a while and try you. You know, people say, boy, you know, they're getting beat up because they're doing a lot of work for God. Well, let me tell you, I teach healing. I've been teaching healing since I was born again. My brother started teaching healing a week after I got born again. It's a long time. And for about 25 or 30 years, I've been saying the devil can't kill me. No, I understand I'm very young. You know, you can't guess my age, but some of you might guess 35. I'm very young. I understand that. But he's been trying to kill me for a long time. Do you think if he could kill me, he wouldn't kill me? Here's a man who dares to say, the devil can't kill me. I'm not saying sickness and disease can't kill me. I mean, they can't either. But I'm saying specifically, I'm making it personal. The devil can't kill me. You know, has he tried? Oh my gosh, he's tried so many ways. But I refuse to be anything but a spiritual being. I look at every challenge through the eyes of the Bible, through the blood of Jesus. And it's not based on my talents or what I know. It's based on the Word of God and what Jesus did. And that's true for all of us. So one attitude is your choice makes a difference. Your choice determines what happened to you. So make a choice that you're going to see yourself as a spiritual being. You not play the devil's game and see yourself as a carnal being. To see yourself as a spiritual being, you got to make a choice to fight and live in the spiritual. You fight and live in the spiritual. Now, until you get the hang of it, you may still be taking an aspirin or still going to the doctor or something. But understand that all the doctor deals with is something which he can measure. Right. In fact, if you've been to the hospital, they tell you, oh, the number is this and the number is that and the number is that. All I tell you is numbers. Yep. What do you care about numbers? I'm a being. I'm a person. In fact, I'm a spiritual person. But am I telling you the truth? All I talk about is numbers. Okay? Oh, this number. We had this person watching right now, and the doctors couldn't heal her. I mean, she would get a bit better. They give her a transfusion. She'd go home. And then in a short time, she's back in the hospital. And the problem was her body wasn't, in the doctor's word, the doctor wasn't producing enough platelets. So the measurement should be, if I recall correctly, should be like 450,000. And she was down like 20,000 or 18,000. Big difference between 18,000 and 450,000. Yeah. I mean, in the natural, she probably should be dead. But she's a woman of faith, and she's praying. So eventually we hooked up, and we started teaching her to affirm things and call the end from the beginning and command it to improve. So she started commanding, in the name of Jesus, my platelet count is, affirmation, 25,000. Then she went to 30,000, then 50,000, then 100,000, then 150, then 250,000. And somewhere around 250 and 300,000, they sent her home. She's never been back to the hospital with that challenge again, ever, and never will. You agree, in Jesus' name. We all agree, right? Okay. But before that, she went many times. Because she saw herself as a spiritual being. She saw herself as a healer of the Lord. And she spoke God's word. Command the mountain and it must move. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So the devil wants to see you in the natural. He wants you to respond in the natural. That's why 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through about 5, says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not carnal because you're not a carnal being. You have to live in a body to function on earth. And God wants us functioning on earth because God's words never change. Heaven and earth may pass away, but the word of God will never pass away. And he says to Adam, to mankind, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And it's going to happen. You can bet your last dollar on it. It's going to come to pass. The meek shall inherit the earth. The meek are those who do things God's way and listen to him. They're going to inherit the earth. And we have authority and dominion over everything that moves upon the earth. Amen?
Amen.
And that's all Old Testament. We haven't even got to the New Testament yet. Woo! Which has bigger and better promises. Amen! Whoa! Okay. So the devil wants you to play the games of doctors who live in a carnal world. They live by science. And science is a study of that which can be measured. This is a definition they teach you when you take science in college. Science is the study of that which can be measured. If it can't be measured, science is hands off. Science is a study of that which can be measured. In fact, for a long time, people used to say, psychology is a study of the human mind. And they realized they couldn't measure the human mind. So they changed it. Psychology is a study of human behavior. Big difference. No, still they talk about it as if they're studying the human mind. But if you ask them, what's the formal definition? Psychology is a study of human behavior. Because they can measure it. Science is extremely limited. If you rely on science, the day will come where they say, we can't help you. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't want that because we are going to be here when Jesus returns. Amen. Because it's our first attitude. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Okay. So, we see ourselves. We're having a checkup from the neck up. We see attitudes that are very important. Your first attitude is your choice determines what happens to you. Your second attitude is you're a spiritual being. So don't fight in the carnal. I mean, my word. Can you imagine if Mike Tyson, the famous Mike Tyson, who was just wiped out so many people in the ring, said, okay, he got angry at Michael Phelps. Hey, two Michaels, right? Michael 1, Sister Michael 2. I really can't stand you, man. I'm going to whip you. And so Mike Tyson says, listen, man. I'll take you on anywhere you want to go. And Mike Phelps says, let's go for a swimming race. Right? You with me here? Why in the world would you want to do that? Why would anybody want to fight Michael Phelps by swimming? That's the last place you want to go. So why you want to fight the devil in the natural? You want to fight them in the spiritual. In the spiritual, you can't lose. All your weapons are spiritual. The sword of the Spirit is spiritual. The Word of God is spiritual. So fight them in the spiritual. And so in the spiritual, you stay in that spiritual world. Now in the spiritual world, you know that all your sins have been washed away. Because of the blood of Jesus, your sins have been washed away. You're justified. Justified means it's just as if you never sinned. Justified means you're the righteousness of God. All your sins have been so wiped out that it is just as if you've never sinned. So because of the blood of Jesus, you can live just as if you never sinned. Jesus lived just as if he never sinned because he never sinned. Wouldn't we like to live that way? Of course. In fact, that's the way God wants us to live. He wants us to live like Jesus. Jesus says, the works that I do, you will do and greater. Ask that you might receive, that your joy may be full. If you dwell in me and my words dwell in you, you should ask anything you want and it should be done for you. Aren't these the words of Jesus? Didn't he go on to say? And if he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. If any person believe in me, though he were dead, he shall live again. Why? Because he's the resurrection. And if you're alive and you believe in me, you shall never die. Why? Because he's life. You know, darkness can never drive out light. No matter how dark it gets outside, it will never put out this light. Darkness cannot put out light. And death cannot put out life. Life is Jesus. For death to overcome the body, we have to give up the life of God in us. And it's a choice. And people give up the life of God little by little by little by little. Decision after decision, their entire life. They choose to do things the way God says, don't do it. My word. You know, God was not too pleased with the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel was put up after the flood. How long after, we don't know. But in my opinion, the reason why the Tower of Babel was put up was because they said, you know, God wiped out the earth with a flood once before, and we're going to build a tower so tall that if he tries it again, he can't drown us because we'll be up there. But God has said he'd never wipe the earth out again with a flood. But they didn't know that part. And so God says, when you're under attack, when the serpents of the world are attacking you, keep your eyes on the cross, on the tree. Okay? Look at Jesus. Jesus will be lifted up just like the serpent that the pole was lifted up. See, the medical profession took that serpent and a pole. And that is their emblem of the medical profession. A serpent and a pole, right? But God wasn't saying, take the serpent and the pole to identify those who are going to heal you so you don't have to come to me. He says, I am Jehovah Rapha. I'm the God that healed you. I'm the God that healed you. He wants to heal you, but he wants you to do it his way. And his way is you stay in the spiritual. And you realize that you can live without sin, sickness, and disease just as if you never sinned because of the blood of Jesus if you do it his ways. And what is his way? Matthew 12:37. Matthew 12:37. I want to see one head nodding, two heads nodding. You all should be nodding, yeah. Because you're justified by the words of your mouth. You're justified by the words of your mouth. Oh, you mean I can live as if I have no sin by the words of my mouth? Yes, if you're born again. You mean I can live without sickness and disease by the words of my mouth? Yes, if you're born again. I can live as if I've never sinned in my entire life by the words of my mouth? Yes, if you're born again. You're justified by the words of your mouth. And since the word of God is so logical and so symmetric and so perfect, it all fits together. That's why Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of your tongue. Which one are you going to choose? That's how we started. We started by choosing. Well, you decided to choose death. But you know, people do it all the time. No, it's not like, you know, the hospitals now are overrun with people who are ODing and spice, thing called spice, right? There's actually two things out there now. And they went down to part of LA recently, and in one day they picked up, 38 people staggering around with this thing. Carted them off by ambulance to hospital. Went back 2 days later and got another, 14? Same area, same place, same problem. No, you think when they bought it, the guy who sold it to them said, buy this thing and it will kill you. I don't think so. He said, buy this, and you get a high, and you forget your problems, and you'll have nirvana for a while, right? And that's the way the devil works. He says, oh, eat that third piece of pie, and you'll really enjoy it. He doesn't say, eat that third piece of pie, and we're going to clog up your system a little bit more. He just says, now, don't exercise today. Kick back and relax. You deserve it. It will feel good not exercising. He doesn't say, don't exercise today because it will build a habit of not exercising, and sooner or later, I'm going to catch up with you and kill you. But that's what he's trying to do. He, so all he's peddling, he's like a drug pusher. Thank you. A drug pusher who's pushing his drug, which is death. And that's why God says, choose life or choose death. The power of death and life are in your tongue. Speak only words that bring grace to the hearer, and you can live justified by the words of your mouth. So by the words of your mouth, you declare, hey, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I have no sins. Jesus took my sins. Devil, what are you trying to make me sick for? That's illegal. You can only make a person sick when they have sins. Except when they don't know better. Which is where we all were, which is where we were all trying to get out of. They don't know better. Why? Because God's people perish for lack of knowledge. No place in the Bible does it say, my people perish for lack of faith. We have tremendous faith. If you think of what you believe, you have tremendous faith. You believe in a man that you never saw, who died 2,000 years ago, and you believe he rose from the dead and took your sins. And because of that, you're going to heaven. We've never seen heaven. You have tremendous faith. We just need to believe that the word of God is true. You are the heel of the Lord. And the devil can't make you sick unless you partner with him. But people partner with him because of the words of their mouth. They don't mean to, but they say it. You know, people say, 1,000 times I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, and the telephone ring and somebody says, how are you feeling? And they say, boy, sick as... I can't say that anymore because you're allowed to get on my case when I say sick as something. I'm sick as a sick something. Okay? Right? But then they learn. If you make a mistake, cancel it. Cancel it. Make it null and void. Right? And we learn, if you turn your tongue over to the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, control my tongue. And speak the word of God. Psalm 19:14. In the name of Jesus, God has made the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart pleasing to him. And say that over and over. Pray in tongues. Eventually, the Holy Spirit starts to control your tongue, and we won't speak death and life to others and to ourselves. You're justified by the words of your life. Finally, fourth choice, pride. Pride. No, if you've been here for the last 20 years, you know, we really haven't talked much on pride until the last year, okay? That's because I figured I was so humble while teaching it, okay? But I'm realizing some of you are not as humble as I am. So I'm starting to teach on pride a little bit from last year and this year, okay? But you see, right in the middle of pride is what? Who volunteered? There she is. She's in the middle of pride, okay? Right? But we all are. In the middle of pride is I, right? P-R. For those of you who are more to math than spelling, it's P-R-I-D-E. Right? Which means P-R, priority, I, decide. If you ever wonder where it comes from, it's priority, I decide. I decide the priority. I make a choice. And the priority I decide is I am the most important thing in the world. I'm the most beautiful. I'm like Muhammad Ali, you know? And I walk in pride. And we all do that. Oh, you don't want to hear my opinion? I want you to know my opinion is more important than facts, okay? Right? You know, the show they used to have on TV, Dragnet. This story is true. Only the facts have been changed, you know? So pride is the fourth choice. We got to choose not to walk in pride. We got to choose to walk in humility. For in humility, God teaches his way. And it's only the way of God that will keep us alive to be here when Jesus returns. It's the only the way of the Lord that will show us how to live as spiritual beings and not fall down into this minefield of carnal traps. So we gotta try to start recognizing pride. See, the an essential good test for pride is very simple. If you're doing things your way, you're more than likely walking in pride. See? You need to do it God's way. Because your way is really what you think is your way. It's really what the devil has put into your head to do. Because most people react to the most dominant thought in their mind. They're walking around and thoughts are bombarding them. And the one that is the squeaky hinge is the squeaky hinge that gets the oil. The most dominant thought, the most pushing thought, the one that comes out most frequently, people decide, that's really what I do. And especially when they have to decide in a hurry, like in a crisis, they do what pops into their head. I had this friend, and he's a painter, and he was working like two stories up. And with a power tool, and the ladder broke, and he fell about two stories down with a power tool, a very dangerous power tool in his hand. And before he hit the ground, he was praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. He walked away uninjured. But let me tell you, when that happens, you don't have time to say, well, I wonder if I should pray in tongues. Let me see, how do I start? It has to be so much a part of your core value system, so much of what you do in your heart, that automatically you start praying in tongues. You know, that if you're in a sound sleep and the phone rings at night and you're startled awake, and what's the first word that comes to your mouth? Tongues is a good thing to come to your mouth. Okay? Jesus is a good thing to come to your mouth. What's the first thing to come to your mind? Just a question. When is an emergency, what's the first thing you think of doing? That all tells you what's in your heart. First thing you do in an emergency tells you what's in your heart. If the phone rings and you get into fear, then fear is in your heart. See? If the phone rings and you think, wow, there's the lottery people calling to tell me I just won the lottery. Then you're starting to get some good stuff in your heart, right? So, pride. Pride is because you decide what priority you're going to put on something. Priority, I decide. I decide the priority of what's going on. I decide the priority on what you're saying. I decide the priority of whether or not I want to spend time with you. I decide the priority of how I'm going to react. If you are assigning the priority, if you are deciding the priority, then you're probably in pride. You want God to assign the priority. You want to be led by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. So, attitude for living, part one, be a God chaser. Chase perfection, righteousness, intimacy, and patience. Patience of the nine fruit of the Spirit, which includes faith, patience is the one that's used the most in the book of Revelation. It's used seven times. Faith is only used four times. That shows you the relative value of them. Okay? Now, that's part one. Part two, have an attitude of understanding. Your attitude determines your success, your destiny. And have an attitude that you are a person who is a spiritual being. And that your choices determines what happened to you. Have the attitude to always remain a spiritual being, the heed of the Lord, and not get into carnal fights with the devil. Have an attitude that your words justify you. You can live by the words you speak. You can create your world with your words. Have an attitude that you want humility and not pride. Let the Word of God decide your priority. You don't decide them for yourself. Amen? Amen. God bless.